The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We are the Unpacked Podcast. From AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation on Twitter at TheUnpackPod. On Instagram for no reason at TheUnpackPod. Our Patreon is patreon.com/TheUnpackPod. Like, subscribe, tell your friends. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Like the person who said, this podcast spews disinformation regularly and is dangerous for sports media. That's how you know you're doing a good job. Guys, I am Zach Rapport in Albuquerque, and The Packers are getting players back, but at APC, they're dropping like flies. So today's rotational sub-linebacker is Justice Mosqueda. Justice, say what's up to the people.
What's up to the people? I'm glad I'm officially designated as dangerous now. Here we go. I've been called a lot of things. Dangerous, I don't think, is one of them. So that's nice. Add it to the list.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's, we've got so many more shows in the feed now that, like, it used to be, I did everything. So every review that came in, I was like, oh, that's about me. But now I don't know if it's about me. I feel like reporting is eligible. They're pretty, they let their flags fly as well. And some people don't like it. Some people don't like it out there. So I would say if you've gotten this far in the season and you like our show and you haven't given us a review, let's balance the scales and just hit that. You don't even need to type anything. Just hit the 5-star, please.
Just put, he's coming back.
Yes.
5-star review. He's coming back.
That's a direct order from corporate overlord Justice Mosqueda. He's coming back. 5-star review. Anyway, super de duper wild card weekend, I guess. The dust settles, and it is the 49ers who are slated to come to Lambeau for the divisional round of the playoffs. We're going to talk a bit about that later in the show, but I thought we would take the first half of the show to reflect back on Wild Card Weekend. Got some stress-free football that the Packers did not have to participate in. That was nice. But before we do that, really quickly, I would be remiss if I didn't say congratulations to listener Matthew Grosser, who is this year's Unpack Podcast Listener Pick'em League Champion. So he gets the polite golf clap. Props to Matthew, who, by the way, lives in London, so yet another non-American listener taking the crown. I think that this is the fifth year that we've done this. I believe Team USA is 1-for-5, so not a good look for the homeland fans here. Justice, you've got a big following. I know that you know some fans and analysts overseas that you talk to. What's the deal with them eating our football information lunch here lately? They seem to know their stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just more likely to sign up. I don't know. They don't have to deal with Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, you know, during the day, you know, on every television or bar television, whatever. So they just come to podcasts, I guess.
I can't help myself. Every time either the Cowboys lose or the Packers win in a big spot, I can't help myself but kind of click on when Skip Bayless is trending on Twitter and just kind of see the conversation.
I was listening to a Lepetard show, and they said the entire show, it was just Cowboys Niners talk.
Yeah.
Like, they never moved a second off of that game. There's a whole weekend of games. There was, what, 6 of them? And the only game that they touched was just Cowboys Niners.
It was, It was one of the more interesting game. Well, why don't we just get right into it? We're going to do note nugs. No Packer game, obviously, this weekend. Again, all treated to a few days of stress-free football. So my note nug, we'll just jump right into it, is I think it is officially too much football. They had a good thing going for a while, having tweaked the last week of the 16-game season. So like more of those games were competitive, more of them were consequential. There was a few years where I really feel like they hit a sweet spot, and the last week of the season was fun again. Then they added the extra week. That's thrown a wrench into all that. The final week of the season was mostly unwatchable again, kind of back to square one there. And then we've got extra playoff teams. And let me tell you, I watched a bunch of wildcard football this weekend, and most of it was just bad. I'll do some rough math for you, and I tweeted about this a little bit last night. But I looked at the top 10 teams in the league in terms of point differential over the course of the regular season. The Bills are an outlier there. They averaged outscoring opponents like 12.5 points all year, including their losses, which is just nuts. But anyway, the number came that I came up with was around 7 and change. So the top 10 teams in point differential averaged 7 more points than opponents over the course of the season. This weekend, the average point differential was, you want to wager a guess?
I mean, like 12 or something?
17.
Yeah, geez. I mean, some of these games didn't need to happen. Like, I know the 2-7 seeds were like the games of wild card weekend last year, but look at these Eagles and look at these Steelers and look at me in the eyes and tell me those teams deserve to play a playoff game. The only thing it did was like make the Chiefs, you know, prepare for another opponent and make the Bucks prepare for another opponent.
This week. Just gave them extra practice. You say, look at the Steelers. I don't want to look at the Steelers. I want to look away. I can't. I'm so happy. I never have to watch. Hopefully Ben Roethlisberger make another 2-yard pass again, as long as I live.
I fell asleep I napped at halftime of both of those games. And I'm very proud of my decision because I woke up. It was, what was it? They kicked the field goal to go up 17-0 in the Bucks game. I had a long night the night before. My buddy crashed, stayed in my office on the futon. And I was like, you know what? I had a long night. I don't think I need to see the end of this game. And when I woke up, it was 31-0. And I was like, I feel refreshed. And I made a way better decision. So I'm sure there's plenty of people listening to this who are just like, all right, it's time to get the stuff done around the house because this is my window before the actual good game starts.
Yeah. I didn't watch all the games super intently. The only one I watched was 49ers Cowboys, which I'm glad that I did. All the rest of them, wife and I just watching TV, and I'll just like have it on my phone on the side, and I'm just like shaking my head for hours at a time. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. Just watching terrible, terrible football. The 49ers and Cowboys game was at least entertaining, but that was some sloppy ass football too, man.
So sloppy. The Cowboys had, you know, a billion penalties. They started doing the full house formation that everyone who's watched McCarthy Green Bay Packers do. They did it with two offensive linemen too, which like I just don't understand at all. They did so much stuff, and then the end game situation obviously looked very goofy in that, you know, they thought that they had a couple more seconds than they actually had, and the umpire wasn't getting there fast enough. And anyone in that situation knows, like, you have to talk to the umpire in that spot and, like, give him a heads up.
Yeah, I heard you
and
talking
it just
about
seemed
that.
Like he never got relayed that damn message. And that really does fall on McCarthy. I know a lot of people were debating, like, was this a McCarthy thing or was this a Kellen Moore thing? And it's like, the calls go through the head coach, especially in situational football. Like, at the very least, you have to sign off on it.
So. And that's always been a McCarthy weak point is – game management and situational football. You know, he and Dak can talk all they want about how often they practice that play, the QB draw up the middle, but there's different circumstances, yardage, time on the clock. When you practice it, are you practicing, like, do you have some, like, an umpire who's got to run like 35 yards?
Well, they do that, but he's probably aware of the situation.
Oh yeah.
That's what I mean. You have to talk to that. Because refs will work with you a little. Like, they're not trying to hose you completely.
Right,
like,
right.
if he knew that play was coming, he probably has a little bit more pep in his step. And maybe he should have had more awareness in that spot, knowing that they only had, 12 seconds on the clock or whatever. But you got to talk to him at the very least and say, hey, like, if you could get on your horse here, that would be great, because we're trying to win this damn ball game.
Yeah. Well, it's like anything.
He dropped one.
He dropped a couple. He dropped a couple.
He dropped a, it's like anything. He also talked about the weird punt. You saw the weird punt situation, the go for
where
it,
they,
and then
they
hurry
kept
up.
The punt team on the field.
So did you hear the explanation of why they did the hurry up?
I didn't.
Stuff?
Illuminate me.
So I had to listen to the post-game presser, because when I see something that weird, it like irks me.
You're like, what, like, what do they got to say about that?
Yeah, it like gets under my skin. So I'm like, I need to know like what your thinking was. And so I guess his thought was, they go out there and punt in that situation. They knew San Francisco was going to stay in defense stay. So if you look at that play, it's actually San Francisco's defense. It's not even their punt return team. They're in like their base 4-3, if that makes any sense. Basically, Josh Norman doesn't look to stop, the gunner downfield at all. His back is turned. He doesn't know the ball is going to get completed until it's already there. So I guess that's something that they saw on tape, and that's why they went for that fake punt pass. The reason they did the hurry up was, I guess, they wanted to keep that personnel on the field, and they had another play to run with it, which I assume can only be like some sort of like that McAfee play, right? That we saw a couple years ago.
Yes.
Where it was like that weird situation, Colts, Pats, and then it didn't end up going right. But here's the problem. So the umpire spots the ball, and he gives San Francisco an opportunity to sub onto the field, because a player from Dallas's sideline celebrated and walked onto the field. So then they counted that as a substitution change. So they no longer could keep that defense stay personnel on the field. San Francisco puts in their nickel defense, and Dallas is just like, okay, so we can't run that play, but like our punter's on the field. If you watch the replay, the long snapper is standing like 2 yards away from the football the entire time the punter is running laps, trying to get San Francisco to call a timeout. Because the long snapper knows, if I touch this football, I can't go off the field, and I'm not snapping this thing right now. Mind you, this is with an offensive line that was averaging like 246 pounds and a punter who is just doing laps in the backfield. So they had to get a late swap because a player celebrated onto the field, negating, keeping the defense basically trapped onto that field. And they ended up having to get a, what was it, delay of game because they sub so late.
Yeah.
That was a mess.
Yeah.
A mess. The we're going to hurry up after a fake punt is just the most galaxy brain play that I've ever seen in the NFL, having your punter out there. And it looked like they were trying to bait San Francisco into calling a timeout.
Yeah.
And San Francisco's like, why am I calling? It's a first and 10. Your punter's on the field. You don't have an offensive lineman, and my defense is out there. Why am I why do I have to call the timeout?
Man, I'm going to think long and hard about going back in post-production and putting the Benny Hill music behind your whole explanation of everything that happened.
It's terrible.
There.
Yeah. Just a mess. And then afterwards, they're all blaming the refs when, like, you can get mad at the ref for not being, fast enough to spot the damn ball in that situation. But I don't think they hosed him. I mean, Dak was saying, like, oh, it's okay to throw beers at the refs and stuff like that post-game.
It's not
like
a good luck for Dak, yeah.
You guys did plenty to lose that football game.
Yeah.
Plenty.
When the Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy, our buddy RJ Ochoa, reached out to me on Twitter, and we had a little back and forth in the DMs. And he's like, all right, what are we getting ourselves into? Is this a coach I can get behind? And I was like, listen, man, he's an upgrade. Organizationally speaking, he is far and away an upgrade for you guys. He's a program manager. I was like trying to give him all the positives first. I was trying to front load the good stuff, but I had to sell it to him straight. I was like, but eventually, game management, it's going to lose you games or cause games to be closer than they should. We've seen it. We saw it at a certain, there was like a tipping point in the McCarthy era where we just saw it like twice a year, every year after a certain point. And it's just, that's just, at a certain point, you are who you are. It's like anything.
Yep. And he, RJ, speaking of RJ, he was out here with his chest out on game day, adding Kyle Posey, who runs Niners Nation, talking about, today is the day the McCarthy doubters get silent. And since then, KP's been in the SB Nation community Slack just saying, like, anytime anyone needs any help, he's like, RJ's free. RJ's not doing anything. His team's out. So we're probably going to get KP. KP's feeling himself a little bit. We're probably going to get KP on the Friday show to preview Niners Packers. But just know ahead of time, KP feels vindicated already.
Yes. So that's another person puffing their chest out. That always goes well. I had screenshotted too, and I really like RJ. We have good conversations, and I'm going to throw him under the bus here a little bit, but he had tweeted out a couple weeks. I think it was either the last game of the season or the second to last. The Cowboys just romped someone, and he tweeted out the Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. And I screenshotted it because I was like, nope, that is very unlikely to happen. And I had fun circulating that in the APC Slack chat after that game. Quickly before break, do you have a note nug, something coming out of this weekend?
My note nug is Matthew Stafford has finally won a playoff game in my lifetime, and the Detroit Lions have not.
He deserves it.
The Lions have not. I think the Lions have won like one playoff game since like 1955, which is like when my grandpa was like three.
Yeah.
I'm doing the math right. So... Goodness gracious, man. Like that they need a win. And it's got to be tough to see the guy who you were trying to build around for a decade go out and win, you know, immediately and be an immediate upgrade over the quarterback that you just got back in return. I know there were picks exchanged, but still, I mean, hitting that reboot button's got to hurt a little bit. And I know I actually like their head coach. I like Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I think he's like, he's not Joe Judge is the best way to kind of explain him. Like he's culture guy who is not Joe Judge.
Yeah.
There's such a big difference.
Yeah.
In terms of like being able to understand like the modern athlete and being able to actually get them to rally around, that team has never quit. And I think they're on the right track, but buddy, do they have to get a polar up a huge mountain before this starts looking good for them?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, not to hate on Matthew Stafford. He's a very good, if not very flawed quarterback. And you see that from time to time, but, I always, you know, I always thought he was getting hosed in Detroit. So I'm happy for him for the moment to get that win. But
and people always bring up, you know, this is the franchise that made Barry Sanders retire early. This is the franchise that made Calvin Johnson retire early. This is the franchise that forced Matthew Stafford to demand a trade. People forget Rob Gronkowski damn near retired from football when they were going to trade him to Detroit too. We almost added Rob Gronkowski to the list of retirements that Detroit forced, right? I remember they talked about him in the Fox pregame show. I think it was the year that he was out of football. And he was like, yeah, they told me I was going to Detroit. And I told him, you can't do that because now I'm retired. So what are you going to do? Man. And I guess it worked.
That used to, so my dad used to tell me when I was a kid, because I came of age watching Brett Favre is like when I started watching football, and my dad had suffered through the 30 years of darkness. And he was like, the Packers were the team for the longest time that if you were messing up at practice, did something the coach didn't like, they would say, we're going to send you to Green Bay. So like now that's Detroit, or maybe it's always been Detroit. I don't know,
right. But
oh man. Although I will say, all the Lions fans that I know personally are very self-aware and for the most part, pretty nice about how their team always sucks.
It's the Lions are fine. It's when you start talking about the University of Michigan that it starts to spiral a little bit. And they're like, what do you mean, little brother?
That's a good spot to break. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, news and haikus.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, we are back, and I'm going to hit the sounder and just usher us right back, right into the spa. A lot of bad football this weekend. A lot of blowouts. A lot of watching Ben Roethlisberger. Let's just wash it all away. Ghosts of Playoffs Past. You don't scare me anymore. Bring on Jimmy G. Now I'm puffing my chest out because I feel I've seen a lot of sort of preemptive negativity from some Packers fans. I get it, it's the playoffs. It's elimination football. There's a lot of butt cheek clenching going on, but I feel not worried. I feel not too worried. Am I crazy?
Is Jimmy Garoppolo the worst quarterback left in the playoffs? I mean, that's what I keep coming back to. And I know people, they're worried about San Francisco, but if you're going to be worried about San Francisco, you're going to be worried about everyone. You know, if you're scared, go to church situation, I think. Like, you'd rather see the Rams. The Rams are more efficient on offense. They have superstars on the defensive side.
Yeah.
But you'd rather see Tampa. Tampa's the one team that I'm, like, actually super worried about.
Same.
Like, in terms of matchups. So I'd rather see San Francisco here. I mean, I know everyone was rooting to get Philadelphia, but Philadelphia was just outclassed.
Never going to happen.
It wasn't
going
to happen.
Yeah.
Somehow, that defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, who I know he's been limited because of his personnel, especially at safety, but is playing the most bland scheme in the league, he's getting interviews to be a NFL head coach. And I'm like, I don't get it. And there was no, you know, the Ringer never wrote, you know, that X and O's article about how smart the Eagles defensive coordinator is, you know, stuff like that. Like, that wasn't the conversation we were having about this guy. And for some reason, he's getting looked. So
I do not understand the coaching, hiring, industrial complex, and like that whole process. It's just mystifying, and in some cases, mystifyingly stupid to me. I was talking about this the other day on our Slack chat, but Dan Quinn is like getting head coaching, and like failed head coach Dan Quinn goes back to being a DC where he's very comfortable and is a perfectly capable DC, but you already knew that. And then he does a pretty good job in Dallas, and now he's getting head coaching like job offers again, or interviews at least. And what did anyone see from him going back to being a DC in Dallas that made them think, oh, he should get another shot at being a head coach? The jobs aren't remotely related.
No, they're and they're very different. Yeah. That's the whole point. It's the same thing with general manager. Like, general manager is a position where I'm like, if you have a general manager thought on a guy who hasn't already been a general manager, you're just projecting.
Yeah.
At that point,
yeah.
Like, there's no way anyone knows. The head coaching thing, I almost feel like the AHCs, the, you know, assistant head coaches or whatever, are almost like more qualified to do a head coach, like actual head coaching,
absolutely,
job than the coordinators. And there's not even that many people who become a coordinator, go be a head coach, and then are still the play caller,
yeah,
especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Certainly you have input, but those are two full-time jobs by themselves. You know, everyone can't be, you know, McVay or LaFleur or Shanahan and kind of be a natural and see it from the field level instead of the booth. Like,
yeah,
we're talking about guys like the guy in Buffalo, Daboll, right?
Yeah.
He coaches from the booth. So how are you projecting him to be a play caller from the booth to being an on-field head coach? Like, that's in charge of structure during the entire week of the season and basically in charge of the franchise. Like, those are two such completely different jobs. That,
so different.
I think to me, it makes way more sense to hire a Dan Campbell, who is an assistant head coach at, you know, a very good program that isn't super well funded,
yeah,
versus a Daboll who's coaching in a booth, you know?
Yep. I don't get it. You write some poetry?
I sure did.
That's why we like you. You participate in our stupid goofiness.
Oh, when in Rome. Young Kyle Shanahan. Maybe not the tree's apple. Matt over McVay? I'm ready for the takes. We got all three of them left in the NFC playoffs. I think we got the best coach. I think we got the best team. I need him to come out with a win.
You think we got the best coach?
Yeah, I do. I think Kyle should not talk to the players. And I think McVay's fine. I think McVay's fine. I think he just wants to be in a booth at some point. He wants to win a ring, and then he wants to do Monday Night Football for 10 years.
Yeah. He's so sharp looking. just wants to have a microphone.
They interviewed him last offseason, and you don't get a $10 million offer without at least being halfway interested. And yeah. I think a lot of the reason why the Rams are so forward in terms of like, hey, let's just use future assets right now, is because McVay's like, I'm not going to be here in 3 years.
Yeah.
So why the hell do I care about these draft picks?
Yeah. Man, play some Madden, learn some stuff, burn bright, get a booth job.
Yeah. It's not a bad gig, man. The booth jobs might be the best jobs like in the world. You're getting $10 million a year to call 16 games.
Yeah.
Not bad. There's a lot worse work, man.
There's prep work involved. There's travel, but it's compared to like, you know, head coaching, like we were just talking about, it's night and day in terms of what you're being asked to do and what you're responsible for. Yes. You're not responsible for anything other than sounding smart and knowing everyone who's on the field. And
also that Monday night booth, the moment anyone competent steps into that Monday night booth, they're going to be the most loved broadcaster in America.
Yeah.
They've been so bad for so long.
They're going to be, yeah, the person who saved Monday Night Football.
Right.
Can we just talk about how bad that booth is?
Louis Riddick he got mad about the, there was a double pass on a 3rd and 16. And he was like, you know, what I don't like about these trick plays is it shows that you're scared. Why can't you just run your base offense? It's 3rd and 16, Lewis.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 16. You can't run your base offense.
Yeah.
And they were like down 2 touchdowns at that point. What are you talking about?
Why can't you just line up and do what you do better than what they do? It's like, no.
It's just, why can't you just run downhill for 16 yards? Do you just not want it enough? Settle down, Lewis. Apparently people don't like Levy. I think Levy's fine, but like Lewis and Greasy just talking over each other, trying to outshine each other and be the single guy in the booth is just entirely too much.
Yeah. And it just, there was a moment when they got this booth together where I was like, all right, this is a little better. This is an improvement. And then I watched.
Well, Witten was worse. I will say Witten was worse.
Yeah.
But that was a very low bar.
It's a low bar. Yeah. How can they keep getting it so wrong?
I don't know. You hear they're trying to like pay Peyton stuff, and Peyton's like, nope, I want to do this little production thing because I'm trying to get money together to buy an NFL team. And then Sean McVay's turning down $10 million a year. And you're like, there's got to be someone out there. Like Greg Olson is like, what?
Why would Peyton do it?
Number 2 team or whatever?
Why would Peyton? Peyton just logs on to Zoom every week. And people watch that instead. Why would he do that? Why would he leave that? It's just, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing over there. Trying to think what else we can talk about. Injury.
Well, there was this report. I'll give you this. We wrote this up on APC. Jason McIntyre from Fox Sports 1. This is what he tweeted. Texted someone in San Francisco about 90 minutes ago asking about Jimmy G. Lots of rumors about the hand and shoulder are not good. Like, quote, may not start, unquote, good. And the line has surged market-wide to Green Bay -6. Somebody has even more intel. I can tell you from the DraftKings numbers that were sent to us because we have a partnership with DraftKings, about 70% of the money on the money line and the straight-up picks are coming in on Green Bay. The game opened up at 5.5, dipped down to 5, and then has since jumped back up to 6.
Yeah.
I would assume a lot of the DraftKings money is – you know, just kind of public bets, if that makes any sense, if you're just strictly targeting or bidding people as, you know, sharps or the public. But worth noting, because, you know, Shanahan said after the game, like, he's fine. But that's always been something that Shanahan does. I mean, Shanahan did that earlier in the season. He did that last year where he's like, Jimmy will play through the pain. And then Jimmy's like, I don't know, man. So there's potential, at least, you know, we're talking about this on Tuesday. There's certainly a whole lot more that needs to get done before they fly out on Friday. But there's a chance Trey Lance might be asked to win his first road game in his NFL career, you know, in sub-zero wind chill Lambo.
Are you even less worried about this game if it's Trey Lance who gets the start? Or more? Because he's got like, I don't know, I just feel like Packers fans, and we saw a little bit of this on our Slack channel, but there's scarring from like Kaepernick playoff games. It's not the same team, obviously, but there's scarring from that. There's scarring from any time basically a backup quarterback is forced into duty who is remotely mobile. It's like, oh no, for the Packers. Do you feel any of that, or you don't care?
A little bit, but I do think like his accuracy isn't even in a spot where Tyler Huntley's is right now. Mm. And we saw kind of how that matchup worked out.
Yeah.
He certainly does have more big play potential than Huntley.
Yeah.
But over the course of a game, I think it's with either quarterback, honestly, it's just Rodgers against, you know, that quarterback room. And I think Rodgers outplays him. I would say, you know, Lance on the road, you know, in that environment, to, you know, at the very least is completely different. San Francisco, I think, hasn't really played a cold weather game. I believe they went 3-2 on the road with two overtime wins and the other win being the Jacksonville Jaguars since like October. So it's not like they've had like these cold weather road games that they've been able to win or anything like that. And it's not like they've looked great on the road either. So I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic about this game, frankly. And I think that line, you know, around six is probably right. It's probably going to be decided by a field goal or a touchdown somewhere around there. So I like it. And the Packers are getting a little healthier. Billy Turner, full practice this week, or, you know, on Tuesday, which is their first practice of the week. The only guys who are limited were, I think it was Jair and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yep.
So, you know, Kingsley Kiki is back. Aaron Jones, full participant. Devondre Campbell, full participant after not playing in week 16.
Does Zadarius play?
So Zadarius hasn't been activated off of injured reserve yet, but he has been designated as, you know, designated to return.
How long is that window?
He was practicing today. So was Whitney Mercilus. So fingers crossed. They have to make a decision on Cobb by Thursday. That's the big one, because Cobb, basically, when you're on the injured reserve, you could start practicing with the team. But once you start practicing with the team, your 21-day practice clock starts. Right. And then by day 21, they have to then decide, like, are we activating you or are we keeping you on the injured reserve? That's what happened to Bakhtiari, if you guys remember that.
Yep.
It was that 21st day. And they were like, well, we'll activate you. You're not necessarily even going to play in these games, but we don't want you on injured reserve for the remainder of the season. So right. Mercilus and Zadarius Smith and even Ty Summers is designated to return, you know, as a special teams player.
Special teams guru, Ty Summers.
Yeah. So they're guys who can be activated maybe next week if needed, if they can't go this week.
Yeah.
But Cobb is the one where they have to make that decision for him to, at the very least, take a 53-man roster spot by Thursday.
Maybe catch some punts. I don't know. Moore's coming back, right?
Well, David Moore was protected today. He was one of their practice squad protections.
Excellent.
And they usually use practice squad protections for, like, you know, Kurt Benkert or the punter or a backup long snapper. You know, those kind of situations where it's like, if our entire room gets infected with COVID or something like that, or our punter is out, we need someone who at least has been in practice. The only other guy who is protected, I believe, who doesn't fit that criteria is David Moore. And usually that guy's that Juwan Winfrey or Ben Braden who gets called up from the practice squad.
Yeah. If Amari Rodgers is back there receiving kicks, do we riot?
The kicks he's not bad at. It's the punts.
It's the punts.
He just can't feel the punts. I'm okay with him returning the kicks. It's the punts that I don't like.
Do you know for anyone out there the difference technically in fielding those two different kinds of balls?
The punts hang in the air. Like that's the whole point of the punt is like hang time matters so much. I mean, we saw, you know, in that Dallas game where the punter hits the Jumbotron up there. I mean, they're trying to sky it up there so that the defense or the punt team is able to get under the ball and, you know, get right in their face. That's why people talk about, you know, out kicking your coverage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's usually a punt that goes really far, but doesn't get a lot of air under it. So your defense is basically playing, you know, open field tackle drill, which is not what you want to see. So some of it might be that, but it like, sometimes it just feels like the yips to him where, you know, he's putting the diamond out like he's trying to catch a ball over the middle as a wide receiver. And it's like no one has ever taught you to feel the punt like that. And it's not like he didn't have experience doing this stuff at like Clemson. So some of it just kind of feels like a rookie in his head a little bit. But he's doing solid on kick returns, which is the weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've said all along that like I still firmly believe that like he has the skill set to be a useful offensive player. Might take a little while to develop, but like that's just the punts, man. It's been hard to watch, and now it's elimination football. So butt cheeks are clenched. I'll say that.
Absolutely. The other thing, the offensive line. This might be the first time that we get that look of the actual best starting five out there.
Right. Yeah.
if the first snap of the game is, Bakhtiari, Runyon, Myers, Lucas Patrick, and Billy Turner, it'll be the first snap they've taken together all season, which is amazing to think about.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. That's the long game, though. So far, it's worked out. It's all going according to plan. We'll get Bakhtiari back.
Everyone's getting healthier. Yeah. The NFL was apparently just done testing for COVID. No one's gotten sick. No one's been placed on the list.
Yeah, that feels
forever.
Not great.
We got the last guy off in Lucas Patrick. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed no one gets COVID and it goes unreported and then they affect a bunch of other people. Oh, I got opinions. Leave that iTunes review. Everybody,
he's coming back. 5 stars. Yeah. Remember,
exactly right. I think that's gonna do it for us. We've gabbed enough. I'm gonna hit the polka, the white people mariachi music.
Love me an accordion.
Yeah, man. It's upbeat. It's happy. Makes you want a
party music.
A beer. Yeah, exactly. Justice, man. Thank you on short notice for. All season long, pretty much, being ready to step up when I need you. I really appreciate it.
It's next man up for everyone.
Damn straight. Alex is out of town. Ben works a crazy job. Hopefully they'll be back next week. Keep it locked into the feed for the rest of the week here, reporting as eligible. They're going to let their flag fly on Thursday and then Friday. Intercepted previewing the game. Justice, you are going to be talking to who?
Kyle Posey of Niners Nation, and he's bringing the heat.
So. Bringing the heat. Chest puffed out. So get ready for that. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed some stupid football last week. Let's watch some football that counts this weekend. Later.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.